Good afternoon, everybody. Damon Gonzalez from Latin Box Sports. We are live on the Flip Punches Show. We're very delighted, absolutely blown away and delighted to have the former, the champion, Sean Showtime Porter with us on the show today. Sean, how you doing, champ?
Hey, I'm doing as good as I can be doing right now, man. Not too much going on. Just finishing up this 10-day quarantine down here in Puerto Rico. Contracted the virus the last time I came down here. So I've been down here about a week in the hotel. Not much going on. Getting some work done. That's about it.
Sean, we definitely have you in our prayers, man.
Thank you. Yeah, man.
A couple of days with your dad about 2 weeks ago. He came down to Florida. He brought some fighters down here to fight. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what. Watching him work, ringside as I was shooting the fights, you know, remind me a lot, of course, of working with him. And to bring that up, you know, a lot of fans, a lot of people don't know your story. You know, yeah. When young Sean was in school, he loved football. You were always a big, big young dude.
Yeah. So
tell us, walk through your story with everybody, the fans, and tell us how Sean Porter became Sean Porter.
You know, I've always loved football. And so even nowadays, like, I feel good when people recognize me for once upon a time playing football, because that kind of was what I wanted to do. My end goal was to be in the NFL. I mean, as many, you know, young kids and in high school athletes want to do, but it just didn't go that way for me. But right along, not in my back pocket, but just the very other pocket, was boxing. You know, boxing has always been a part of my life as early as 4 years old. And I think the difference with me and most guys who say they started at 4 years old is my dad legitimately went to the boxing gym every day. And his rule for myself and my brothers at the boxing gym was we weren't allowed to sit down. And I know that people are starting to learn this story, but what a lot of people may not understand is at an early age of 4 to almost 5 years old, I literally was boxing. I literally was in the boxing gym doing the fundamentals and all of that kind of stuff. So just like an NBA basketball player, they started at a very young age. They never turned it off. You know, they slept with the ball right next to them, and that was their dreams and aspirations, so on and so forth. Even though that wasn't my immediate goal, was to become a professional world boxing champion, I always knew it was something that I could do. And because boxing is something that I've done my entire life, once the time came to, are you going to go to college and play ball, or are you going to continue to box and not gain weight and do what you need to do to be successful in boxing? And so I really just made the decision based on what I thought would be best for my future. And with me having the dedication and the commitment, along with my dad having the drive, the understanding, the intelligence, and the wherewithal to do everything that needed to be done. I mean, you see him now with these young guys. He's got the program now. But there was a point in time where he and I, we were trying to figure out the recipe. And we were trying to figure it all out together, you know. So I've been blessed enough to travel the world boxing. And I've been blessed enough to win a lot of national tournaments, be a part of a lot of international teams and things like that. And, you know, when you see me now becoming a two-time world champion, it's almost like you don't see the same Sean Porter in the ring twice. That's not by accident. You know, that comes from a strong upbringing and a foundation in and outside of the boxing ring that I've been able to translate both in and outside of the boxing ring and do some things that some people would consider amazing. Me personally, I consider them to be amazing. I'm like, I can't believe I ended up here. I'm where probably 90% of the guys that I grew up with wanted to be. And I'm not saying I didn't want to be a professional champion. I'm just saying that really wasn't my mindset. I wasn't doing it to become a world champion. I just was doing it because it's started doing it at four. This is what we do, you know, and it really snowballed, you know, and I'm very, very grateful and thankful for the sport, grateful and thankful to my dad and of course God, because you know, collectively those three entities right there have made me who I am.
Champ, yo, I want the younger generation to hear this. Knowing yeah. 270 plus amateur fights you had. I mean, ain't it gratifying when a lot of young dudes, and I know throughout your career, so many young men, so many people have approached you. Yo, I fought you in the amateurs. You remember? Isn't that such a great feeling, knowing that there was a certain time in a certain period as you were developing into your own man you are today, that you yeah. paid dues, man? Isn't that great?
The great part about it, man, is it's like the snap of the finger is how fast it has happened.
Yes.
In the moment, it does not feel like it's going that way. And that's what I always try to press upon young people, is don't focus on today, because today is not what it is. Today is just a moment. Today is going to get you to, not tomorrow, but it's going to get you years down the line. And for me, man, I have a strong testimony, because there were a lot of times where, you know, I could have stopped at today. Today is rough. Today is ugly. I hate today, and I hate that today is bringing tomorrow, because I know what tomorrow is going to look like. But for me to just stay concreted in my faith, understanding that it's going to get lighter, it's going to get better, things are going to improve. And, you know, for me to just stay at it and where I am now, you know, it truly is a testament to God creating something in me that not very many people have. I tell people all the time, patience is really, you can't fathom what the word really means. The only time you really truly have patience is when you look up and you realize that you were so lost in whatever it is that you were focused on that nothing else, you know, you missed 5 messages, you missed 5 phone calls. And not just today, but you missed that for an extended period of time, and you look up and now you have some success. That was the patience that was required to bring that success.
Now, I'll tell you, Sean, we're in a kind of like in a generation today that there's really a lot going on when you look for it, and we're focused on the sport, and we're talking to the world, and we're talking to the fans, everybody that tunes in and listens in. There's another chapter of a different form of boxing that's out there, and it's more of the entertainment of boxing. Mm-hmm. Not saying there's something wrong with that, but let's focus on what we have in front of us, the true blue championship of boxing, loving the sport the way we do. Personally, I believe in your whole career, and you've went through the checklist from the Devin Alexanders to the Keith Thurman fights to the Berto fights. The names go on and on and on. To me personally, one of your best performances to date was against Errol Spence. Win, lose, draw. Best performances. Why? Because we love the dog in you. Talk about the dog in you. Because it's that thing when that bell rings, you're not this nice guy talking on the interview. It's just another level that we love to see in the ring.
It's another level, man. It's really hard for me to kind of turn it off. And here, I'll give you an example. I got example after example. My dad, one day, we both have some pretty nice fast cars. He says, "Hey, what do you think about just going out and driving today instead of going to the gym?" This was a little while back. I said, "Yeah, man, let's jump in the cars and go for a quick cruise." For me, a cruise literally is going 100 miles an hour and beating my dad. I don't know how far we going. I don't know what direction we're going, but I mean, I pull out of the driveway. Doom, doom, doom. I hit the first street. Doom, doom, doom. Now I'm waiting on him to catch up. And I'm like, thought we was going for a drive. For him, a drive is I'm next to my son. We're in our cars. We're successful. We're gonna reflect on everything that we have and everything that we got going on. And you know, he didn't grow up with a dad, so he wants to do everything that he feels he missed or feels that he should do as a father and son should do. But in my mind, competition. In my mind, we got to go. In my mind, I got to win. And that's just what I take to the ring with me. I take a sense of competition and a sense of wanting to win and a sense of wanting everybody to see me do something extraordinary, that it turns into what has transformed into me becoming ferocious and me becoming having this nonstop and non-quit type of mentality in the boxing ring. I get hit and it's like, I got to keep going. I get hit. I got to get you back. And it's just my nature. For New Year's this year, we're all going to my family's house, small gathering. And my wife says, I'm going to cook a lasagna. I said, all right, cool. Then she says, I think we might need two. I said, all right, cool. You cook one and I'll cook one. And then we have all of a sudden it's a competition. We taking these lasagnas to the house and everybody's sitting down to eat. And you got two pieces of lasagna on your plate because we need to know who won this competition. Like, I can't turn it off. And obviously, depending on what I'm dealing with, you know, my energy level goes up and down. But when I get into the boxing ring, I mean, it's really a sense of love, a sense of me wanting to be accomplished, a sense of me wanting everybody to see me do what I do. You know what I mean? And that's why it turns into this ferocious beast, because I think boxing is a war, and you know, you have to be prepared for the war. And for me, not everybody's me, you know. Look, Terrence Crawford doesn't do it like me. You can see Terrence Crawford have fun in the ring while he's doing his thing, but that's how he gets the job done. For me, I gotta be mean, I gotta hit you, I gotta hurt you, and I gotta be felt before, during, and after the fight.
That's what makes Sean Paul the Sean Paul the Sean. You know, when that time came and you raised that green belt up in the air.
Yeah, man.
That IBF belt up the year, a few years before that. You know, part of not just winning it in the ring. I think the one most amazing thing about you that I want to bring up is behaving like a champion, as you are. Mm-hmm. So that you've collaborated with Mauricio Suleiman and with Darryl Peebles, and you've done so much in the community and so much. Yeah. I would like for you to expand on that, because watching the generation of boxing come up now, they need to know. They need to be educated that, hey, the best is yet to come. Just pay your dues.
Yeah. Explain
that. What does that mean to you?
So my dad and I, we have a conversation one day. He just comes over to the house. This was 5 years ago, maybe. He looks at me, he says, you need to start getting prepared for life after boxing. I don't want you just sitting around watching TV. Get into school, figure out what you want to do. I said, Dad, I kind of got a feeling I already know what I want to do. He says, well, what do you want to do? I said, you know, I really don't want to say too much right now, but I can tell you this. Whatever I do after boxing, I want it to be because it helps other people. I don't want it to be because I make X amount of money. And he says, I get that, but you got to understand that the life that you live right now, you have to be able to maintain that. So figure out what you're going to do. That way you can maintain everything that you have and you don't fall behind, and or you don't, you know, get unhappy about your life once boxing is done. I said, Dad, I'm not even worried about it. I said, I'm positive. Whatever I do after boxing, boxing's going to take care of things for now, but whenever I'm done boxing, I want it to be just because I can help. And X amount of years later to now, I've started a sports life coaching certification. And basically what I'll do is I'll help athletes, business people, young entrepreneurs, basically anybody who needs help. But I will be coaching you through your life professionally, personally. And the component that I didn't know about is philanthropically. Wow. And when the very first day that I started this class, this is what I learned professionally, personally, philanthropically. And I'm like, well, this is great for me because I want to have a philanthropic life. I want to do things that are going to help. But what about the athlete or the person who just doesn't care about having a philanthropic life, giving back and things like that? She says, it doesn't matter. She says, anytime you help, you're living a philanthropic life. So your job is for your athletes and for your professional business-minded people, your entrepreneurs, is to get them to understand that they have to have a philanthropic mindset. Does not mean they have to give money. Does not mean they have to be a part of these big charities. Just means they have to do something to pay forward what you're doing with them. So you have to get them to understand that it doesn't have to be, they don't have to spend money or time doing something, but they have to figure out a way to help and live a philanthropic life. And so here I am, like 5 years ago at least, I knew what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to live and have a philanthropic lifestyle. And then now I find out through what I want to do in terms of after boxing, being able to coach and help other professional people become better professionals in and outside of the ring, on and off of the football field, and on and off of the courts and things like that. And I get to live everything that I want to do. That is what I would encourage everybody now who's listening to this. You have to be philanthropic. You have to have a mindset to help, to better someone else's life. And you have to, and it does not mean you have to give that person money. It could be a matter of, like, something that I do is I carry water bottles around in the car. And whenever I see a homeless person on the street, I reach back and I grab that bottle of water. Here you go. Boom. I did my duty as a philanthropic individual daily, just right there, you know. So that's something that I'm very much so into. I actually have a phone call with an organization called Give an Hour, and in about an hour. And their foundation is basically about giving an hour of your time to help someone else, you know. So I'm in the process of starting the Porter Way Foundation. That is two things I'm going to do with that immediately. That's going to be geared towards helping the homeless, and it's also going to be geared towards helping young men. Race does not matter. What my focus is on is helping young men get to their goals and helping young men become better. And I'm not saying that I am the only example, and because I don't feel like I'm the only example or even the greatest example, I'm going to bring in other men who can help and show these young men and become examples to these young men in terms of how to get into college, how to further your entrepreneurial endeavors, become better men at home, better husbands, better professionals, and the list goes on, you know. So I'm a big ball of help, man, and I can't wait to get to it.
Sean, with all the fighters right now out sport that are preparing for fights, that are fighting in 2021, that are going through what they're going through, would be your advice to everybody dealing with, of course, we're in the world of adapting to C-19, changes, to wearing masks, to wearing gloves, to, you know, 6 feet distance. Just things have changed in general. Advice to other athletes when they're approaching a fight and approaching a situation, adapting to these changes?
Something my dad always taught me, and he came over the other day, and he says to me, he says, you need to teach your son to be alert. And he meant it, and he was joking, but he was also serious. But he was joking because my entire life, my dad would always have us, like, before we would leave the house, he would say these little mantras, you know, hey, what are we going to do? Stay alert. You stay alert, and you take care of yourself and take care of my brother, take care of my dad, and the list goes on from there. So, you know, what I would tell these athletes is two things: stay alert and keep your head down. Why keep your head down? When you got your head up, you're able to see past the boxing ring. You're able to see past the bag. Keep your head down. Stay focused on the task at hand. If the task is winning your eighth match straight, focus on winning that eighth match. Don't focus on 12 matches down the line and who am I going to fight for the championship title. Keep your head down. Focus on the eighth match, because that eighth match is the only important match that you got to have. It's okay to set goals. We need you to set goals. We want you to set goals. But the immediate goal is always the very next fight, the very next training camp, the very next sparring session, the very next time you go out for a run. Those are the things, guys. Focus on the immediate goals and do not lift your head up. You lift your head up, you see a woman driving by while you're on the road running. Now you're focused on what you would have said to that woman opposed to that run and how much further you got to go and how you feel. And are you beating your time this time? You know what I mean? Like, there's just so much that we as fighters need to focus on. We can only focus on that by keeping our heads down and having that mission and that goal in mind. And the other thing outside of that is just to stay alert. We have to cover ourselves. We have to be responsible for ourselves, those people sitting next to us, those people ahead of the line in front of us, those people ahead behind us. Don't be afraid or ashamed to tell this person, hey, I just need 6 feet, please. It's worth it because it can save your life or it can save someone else's life.
Sean, I'll tell you, you champion, you wear a lot of hats and you stay so busy, and I commend you for that. Ring City broadcasting the shows in Puerto Rico and LA, doing so. But let's get into it. Congratulations on your podcast. I'm so excited about watching your podcast, man. Let me tell everybody about it, and how can they follow the podcast?
The Puerto Way podcast is on every podcasting platform. I always tell people to check it out on YouTube because you get to see the antics, you get to see the fun, and you get to see myself and my co-hosts who are also my friends do our thing. And I know we got time, so I'm gonna go ahead and get into it real quick. So I'm doing the show for Fox Inside PBC Boxing. C19 happens, everyone's ordered to go home. I'm watching TV every day. You know, ESPN, they got things going on. Now everybody's at home doing it. I'm like, all right, cool. Let me get some equipment because I know we're going to be doing things at home. And I get the equipment. And unfortunately, things go a different direction for Fox. They don't want to continue the Inside PBC Boxing show. And I'm like, dang, I got this equipment. I said, shoot, I might as well start this podcast. I've been talking about starting it for at least a year. Let me start putting it together. I don't know how long it would have been had C19 had not happened. I would not have had the sense of urgency to go out and get this equipment and things like that. You know, so now I start just getting on the phone, calling up certain people. How do I do this? How do I do that? And, you know, the pieces to the puzzle just all came together. Had my dad come over. I said, hey, this is the podcast, you know. He says, this what you got? I said, yeah. He says, you can't use your friends, man. You can't just use your friends. You got to use some other boxing people or something like that. And I don't think my dad really understood my mindset at that point in time. But my thing was, I want to get real personality, real people that aren't on TV, people that you can believe them, believe their stories, because if anything, you're looking at them like they're like you. You don't look at Sean Porter like Sean Porter's like you. I told you before we got on, I said, yo, you got more belts than me. Like, I look at everybody like they're like me, if not better. But not everybody does that. Everybody looks at me and puts me at a different level. And so, and on top of that, these guys have podcasting experience and they're my friends. So I knew that there will be a camaraderie and an energy. And they we mesh very well. You know, I knew that that all that would be there. So we get going and we start. Well, now we're on episode 28. We just finished episode 28 of the Puerto Way podcast. It is primary boxing. I love football, so we do throw in some football. I love sports in general, so we talk sports in general. I'm looking forward to taking it to another level and inviting on other athletes, entertainers, comedians, actors, doctors, lawyers. Eventually the podcast is going to become motivational and inspirational just as much as it is boxing or entertainment. So my end goal for the podcast is to be for anybody. If you need to catch up on boxing, you can come here. If you need some sense of inspiration or motivation, you could come here. if you just want to get away and have some fun and laugh, you can come here, you know. So I think the Portaway podcast, I think from day one, we never put ourselves in a box. And I think that that was good. I know specifically we did an episode right after the Super Bowl, same day. Okay. I think we talked about the Super Bowl for about 45 minutes. And we had about 15 minutes of boxing talk. We stopped it, and my guy says, he says, "Yo, by the way, SP, everybody's gonna be mad about this episode." I'm like, "What's up?" He said, "Well, you already said that you didn't want the podcast to be just boxing, but just know that we only talked about 15 minutes of boxing, so a lot of people are gonna be mad." I said, "Oh, you're right. Well, this is it, you know." The way I dress, I know that there's a lot of people out there that like it, but there's a lot of people out there that criticize it. The people who don't like it and criticize it or have fun with it, continue to have fun with it. Continue to criticize it because it's me and I don't care. The Portaway podcast, it's me and my guys. I hope that everybody's enjoying it, but not every episode is going to be for everybody. And if I missed you on an episode, hopefully I come back and get you on the next one, you know. But it's been a lot of fun, and I love it, and it's here to stay.
Cam, thank you so much for those comments, man. We really appreciate it. And who would you like, before we do, we close it, who would you like to thank, man? Just give shout outs, and, you know, we appreciate it.
There's a long list, and you know, I'm gonna take advantage of this right now, and I'm gonna start with God, because I do believe that God has created me to do everything that I'm doing. I'm still learning a lot for myself, and He's still taking me in some directions that I never would have imagined, and I'm shaking my head, I'm keeping my head down, and I'm going after it, you know. So, any and everything that you see from me, I feel that I'm doing because it's what my purpose is. And I'm trying my best to live in my purpose and do what I feel God is intending on me to do. And so with that being said, I just want to thank God right now for everything that I have and everything that I don't have, because, you know, a lot of people, they're envious and they think they want things. It may not be what God wants for you. Take what God is giving you, use that to the best of your abilities, and go after more, the more opportunities come. Yeah. I definitely want to thank my dad. My dad is, you know, he got me going at 4 years old. And I don't know who imagined me to be doing everything I do now and everywhere that I'm at and all that kind of stuff. But I think that he has always just wanted me to be successful. He's always wanted to be there and be that main component to me being successful. And so with that being said, I just have to say thank you, Dad, for your example. Thank you for pushing me, and thank you for taking me everywhere I never knew I could go. You knew I could, and now we're here. And now I have, you know, feet of my own, legs of my own, and now I'm pushing the cart myself, but just because of my dad. And I think the other more important athlete that I want to publicly thank and recognize, I did this on my podcast, when Marvin Hagler passed away, that was like really hard for me. I just admired him inside of the ring on every single level. And then I had a few opportunities to meet him and be around him. And I just was grateful. I'm like, man, I picked the perfect guy. Like, we're a lot alike, and I never knew, you know, and it just was mind blowing and an amazing experience. But I do firmly believe that, had I not seen Marvin Hagler versus Tommy Hearns, I don't think I would be who I am in the boxing ring. And the reason why I say that is because I saw a individual in Marvin Hagler, and taking nothing from Tommy, because he was there every blow to the end. But I just I zeroed in on Marvin Hagler, marvelous Marvin Hagler, and I just saw Marvel. I marveled at it, you know, and I just kind of made it a goal. I was like, I want to be just like that, you know. That's and so yeah, and so for me, I think in any sport or anything that you're doing, I think even if you're a lawyer, I think that a lawyer had to have a someone to look up to or someone to aspire to be like or be better than, you know. Rather that lawyer is a world renowned lawyer or just the lawyer and the cubicle next to him, you know. And so just saying that to say, when it came to boxing and it came to me having a mark, someone to be like, someone to emulate, and what I thought was going to be the best, it was Marvin Hagler. And so I do think that a lot of things that you guys see in the ring for me is the mindset that I had as a young kid, that's what I wanted to be like, you know. So when you see me not quitting or you see me in the gym and you think that I'm the hardest working boxer out there, Marvin Hagler, marvelous Marvin Hagler, I believe it is that, you know. And he paved the way for me, and that's what I'm trying to do now with all the other young athletes out there, young boxers out there. So I think that those are my three biggest thank yous, and my mom would be mad if I didn't thank her. So I love you, mama. Thank you.
Sean Paul, the champ, we thank you so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it. And we know we're super excited for this year. And hopefully we get to hear your next announcement, your next fight, in the next
week.
Man, take care of yourself.
Thank you. We'll do. Last big thing for me is I'm actually broadcasting the Olympic boxing this year on NBC. So stay tuned. I'm on the Porter Way podcast, also the Porter Way, Showtime Sean P on all of my platforms. So just try to keep up. More than me, you guys listening to me commentate and broadcast, I want you guys to take note of the future of boxing and the best of boxing. And that's why I do the podcast. That's why a big reason why I've taken on these opportunities to commentate. I love it, and I think I'm good at it. But more importantly, I feel that that's my way of pushing boxing forward and into the future. So that's all, man. Thank you for your time, and it's good to see you.
Yo, Sean, much love, brother. Good to see you too, champ.
Take care.
All right, take care. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. The Slip Puncher Show with Sean Porter. We appreciate everybody. Thank you. It was a great show, man. It's always great to talk to the champ. Damon Gonzalez from Latin Box Sports. Follow us on YouTube. And don't forget to follow Sean Porter's shortcast, The Porter's Way. We appreciate everybody for tuning in. And once again, Damon Gonzalez, I'm out, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.